Acts chapter number 16. Good to see Shane and Alex walking in late. Glad you guys made it. And maybe you and Mike can follow each other home since you're kind of going that direction, going down that way. And be safe on the roads going home tonight. Acts chapter 16. Let's pick it up in verse number 16. It came to pass as we went to prayer. Now, in previous to this, they had met with some ladies, and they had had a Bible study there, and they had had some time of fellowship and witnessing and people getting saved there in this area in Philippi. And in Acts chapter 16, it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us. A demon-possessed girl met them, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which showed us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them in unto the marketplace and to the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent sergeants, saying, "Let those men go." And the people, keeper of the prison, told this saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." By the way, I just want to point out here that Paul was not a pushover, and Paul was a Roman citizen, and I don't think they knew that until right now, and that got real tense because all of a sudden they realized they had beaten a Roman, had beaten another Roman. They couldn't have done that without proper law to do so. In verse 38, the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans, and they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And so they came and said, we'd like to escort you out of the city. We made a boo-boo last night when we beat you up and whipped you and put you in the inner prison. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. When they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. I do think there's times, especially in the freedom that we have, that we need to exercise our rights and not be pushovers. But at the same time, when things happen, and they happen quickly, as they did here with Paul and Silas, I'm going to point out some things to you here. First of all, let's talk about the demon-possessed girl. These men that owned her were using her to just make money. But this young lady was demon-possessed. Now, I don't know what was going on. I don't know if maybe her walking behind them and saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God," was actually tearing down their reputation by having her agree with them. But whatever was going on, it grieved Paul, and he did not appreciate it. And so Paul was grieved in his heart, the Bible says, in his spirit, in verse 18, and command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out the same hour. And this girl had a transformation. She could no longer do what she was doing before. She could no longer divine. She could no longer look in her crystal ball or whatever it was she was doing. She could no longer have that spirit demon access that she had, which means that they could no longer make money off of her. Verse 19, and when her masters saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them unto the marketplace and to the rulers. They realized that she no longer was profitable to them. Listen to me. We might live 2,000 years since this time, but there are still wicked people that are using kids on the streets in our country, let alone around the world. They're making money off of young people. You know this is true. And things haven't changed very much. Let me tell you, there's young people that get saved, and sometimes it's the adults in their life that do not want to hear what's happened to them. You know what these men should have said when they realized that she was no longer possessed of a demon? They should have said, "My, how did that happen? Couldn't I have that for me?" I mean, these men were wicked men themselves. They're making money off of this girl. This is what's going on here. The love of money is the root of all evil. But instead of being thankful to God for such an emancipation that had taken place, that this girl was relieved of this. It kind of reminds me when Jesus, remember he relieved the maniac of Gadara? The preacher that we had was talking about that the other day, a new dude in a rude mood. And that maniac of Gadara was demon-possessed, running around in the graveyards and just naked, crazy. And what happened when Jesus transformed him and cast the devils out, and the man was clothed and sitting in his right mind, you know what the people said? They said, "Well, you got to go. That scares us." You know, they were more scared of Jesus than they were of the crazy guy when he was crazy. They were more scared now that he wasn't crazy. Folks, we need to remember that in our world, as people get saved and things happen, we're a puzzle to someone that doesn't understand that. And there's going to be people that don't understand, and they misunderstand, and then there's going to be businesses that lose money when God does a work and God does a miracle, and there's people getting saved. There's going to be people that don't like it. There's going to be people, this goes against what I want to do. This rubs me the wrong way. This takes the money out of the picture. And so what they did here is they stirred up the whole marketplace. Verse 20, they brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." They weren't troubling their city because they were Jews. They were troubling their city because they were Christians. And if that's the reason you're troubling the city, it's a good trouble. It's a good reason. And it says, verse 21, "And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive." And verse 22, "And the multitude rose up together against them." They just turned into a mob. "And the magistrates rent off their clothes," just ripped their clothes off of them, "and commanded to beat them." And this isn't the only time this happened. I mean, this is kind of normal routine for the preachers. All right? And back then it was, and I think it's getting that way again. And they beat these guys in verse 23. "And when they had laid many stripes upon them," anybody need help knowing what that means? Their back was bloody with stripes. Just like "by his stripes we are healed," talking about Jesus. "When they had laid many stripes on them." I think about this, I'm reading this as an American, and I'm thinking, boy, I'm really whining about my problems, you know. I mean, where's the warrant for your arrest? Are you kidding? They just whipped him, beat him, just because of an accusation. Because what? Because they helped this girl get delivered from Satan. "They cast him into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." Okay, so 2,000 years ago in the area of Philippi, let's try to talk about the prison. I mean, what kind of prison system did they have? The inner prison. I wasn't there, but I'm guessing. I've been to some old dungeons in some castles in Europe, and I've seen. And there's no electricity 2,000 years ago, and there's probably not very good plumbing and sewer drainage. What do you think the inner prison must have been like? Completely dark, filthy, stinking, and who knows what crawling around. And who knows what they're sitting in. And their bloody backs are getting contaminated with that stuff. And they're beaten up and thrown in the inner prison naked because they're saying, "Don't you dare lose these guys." And what's this all for? What did they get beat up for? for just helping a young girl get delivered from Satan. And they're getting beat up for it. Now, right about here, I might have wanted to call my lawyer, you know. And I might have wanted to maybe have a little pity party. Might have wanted to blame the other guy that was, Silas, nice going. We should have not come here. I told you we shouldn't have come here. But vice versa. Paul, nice going. What do these guys do? Verse 24. I'm not going to be long, but who, having received a charge, thrust them into prison, made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, that means they can't lay down. They're just stuck in these stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They prayed and they sang praises. You know, that's, we did that already tonight. I hope it was real, you know, but to pray and to sing. You know, did you know we don't even have to wait till church to do that? They weren't having church, but they were praying and singing. Let's just pray. So they prayed. And then that probably after they started praying, they got happy. They started realizing we helped that girl. I mean, she's free. We delivered her. God did it. And God used us. And so they started singing. And so here's these guys in the stocks in the dark. I'm sure it was pitch black. I'm just sure it was dark. And probably moist, maybe even full of sludge and who knows what. Maybe rats crawling around and snakes, I don't know. And they start singing. And I am sure never, ever in that prison did that sound ever come before. And the other prisoners heard it. What a blessing, what a testimony that when this happened to them, they started praying and they started singing. I hope you can pray and sing. Yesterday, I think it was, I've lost track of time, but I think it was yesterday morning, Caleb posted a short video of Ron Hamilton singing a song. And it got me, I listened to that song, and then I went to the next track, and I listened to that song, and it reminded me of some old songs that I used to listen to as a boy. Like, Always the Same. Jesus never changes, he's always the same. When I was a teenager, I got frustrated with adults in my life. I got frustrated with the imperfect adults in my life. Because when I was a teenager, I was the only perfect person I knew. And so I got frustrated with the adults in my life who weren't perfect. And I got frustrated with inconsistency. I get frustrated with referees that aren't consistent. I get frustrated with legal people that aren't consistent. You know what I mean? I get frustrated. And teenagers really get frustrated when the boundaries aren't the same. That verse, that song comes from a verse. In Hebrews chapter 13, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know what I realized as a teenager? No matter what adult, parent or other adult, other authority in your life, no matter what adult is going on wrong or whatever, you know who's always the same? Jesus. Jesus never changed. And so that song, as a young man, became a real blessing because I would sing that and realize Jesus is always the same. He doesn't change. I don't know what other songs these guys were singing. I don't think they were singing a Patch the Pirate song that night, but I know they were singing Bible songs. They were singing songs from the Word of God, and they were praising God and singing and praising Him. They sang the praises. And I guess it reminds me of Romans 5:3 when it says we glory in our tribulation. It takes grace to do that. To give God praise when it's not good. You know, anybody can sing when everything's sunshine. But you really prove some things about yourself when you can sing when it's not. When you can sing and praise the Lord and pray, then that's when it really shows. And you know what? What a blessing. I mean, think about this. Here's a prison, and the two most free guys in the prison are singing. Right? And guess what? The end of the verse says, and the prisoners heard them. You know why sometimes we need to sing, because the prisoners need to hear it. You do realize that in spite of everything that you might have going wrong, there's still people out there that are lost and not saved. And you know when you're outside running around talking about Jesus, yeah, that's because you're free, but you're not like me. If you were like me, you wouldn't sing. So God says, all right, we need a jail ministry in Philippi. So I'm going to allow my two men to get thrown in prison, beat up, and whipped, and ripped their backs ripped open. And I'm gonna put instant jail prison ministry. And then they're going to sit there in the slime, and they're going to sing. And the other prisoners are going to go, wait a minute, why are they singing? We never sing. Why are they singing? And the prisoners heard them. The prisoners heard them so much so that when the earthquake came, none of the prisoners ran. None. If you read the rest of the story, he says, we're all here. I think the earthquake came and the prisoner like, I don't want to go anywhere. I want to find out what these guys have. That's not as free as whatever I'm just seeing right there. That's more free. I want to know, hey, you know what? People are not as impressed about your Jesus as they are when you are singing in the prison. They're just not as impressed about, well, all this stuff you've been talking about. You've heard me tell that story about the missionary. Dan Grings, you know Dan Grings and Sarah Grings. Dan Grings' grandparents. Dan Grings' grandparents went there to, oh boy, I'm going to lose the name. They went to the Congo, and they went to Suriname in the Congo, and I get it backwards. But anyhow, Dan Grings' parents, Herbert Grings and his wife, went to the mission field, and they kept telling these natives about their Jesus, and not one of them got saved until Grandma died, and they had to bury her. And standing over her grave, they all gave testimony that they knew they would see their mother again. Of course, Dan wasn't born yet. But that was his grandfather's story. And his parents all stood around the grave. And they gave testimony, I'll know I see my grave. And they sang. And they praised God and said, my mother is not in the ground. My mother's in heaven with Jesus. And it was the next day that the leaders of the tribe said, we want to know more about your Jesus. And Herbert said, why? Well, you've been telling us all about how he's good for living, but now we see he's really good for dying. We see he's really... I don't want to get whipped in... I don't want to have stripes on my back. I don't want to get thrown into a slimy prison. I don't want death in my family. I don't want those things. But if that's what it takes for people to realize that your God's real and that you still sing and you still praise when you're in prison like that, when you're thrown in the dumps with them, and yet you can still sing and they can't, that's when it means something to them. And so God allowed an instant prison ministry to go on. And I think that's why God allowed it to happen, to show those prisoners and to show one other guy, the jailer. And it says here, as we keep reading, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out. Now, he called for a light, verse 29. Somebody said it this way. He asked for a physical light so that he could see these men. And then when he saw them, he asked for a spiritual light. Verse 30, he says, what must I do to be saved? I got a feeling that he probably could hear them singing too, and he drifted off to sleep, and then the earthquake hit. Because he says, what must I do to have what you have? What must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, pray for them which despitefully use you. Remember it said Paul and Silas prayed, and then they sang? You think maybe they might have prayed for this guy that just beat him? And I don't mean, dear God, please help him die in his sleep of a heart attack. No, I don't think that was how they were praying. Dear God, help us to be a witness to these people in this prison. Lord, help someone to see you through this whole thing. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. What glory is it to just be kind and gracious to the people who are kind and gracious to you? Jesus said, and I'm paraphrasing in Matthew 5, but love your enemies, he said. Do good to them that hate you and despitefully use you. And the Bible says the place was shaken together. I think they were shook up before the jail got shook up. What must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. You talk about a transformation. Boy, isn't that what we want to see? We want to see a miracle. We want to see God change people. Well, isn't it true that probably God has to change us before he can change anybody else? He has to get us back to where we need to be and that inward, as we talked about Sunday night, an inward look and let God just make us like Christ. And so this whole family got saved. Verse 34, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them. Now, get this. He's the same guy that threw them into the inner prison, and now he's feeding them. And rejoiced. They're just excited. They're washing their backs. They're taking care of them. They're just wanting to help them. Rejoice, believing in God with all his house. By the way, I've had Catholics and other people argue with me, well, see, verse 31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And it says in verse 33, and was baptized he and all his straightway. See? So even the babies got baptized. Well, first of all, nothing in those two verses said that there were babies in the house. And verse 34 clearly tells that, because it says, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Babies don't believe in God yet. So everyone who got saved that night and everyone who got baptized that night were believers, okay? You believe, that's so if anyone argues with you about that, it's belief first. Praise God for what happened here. But praise God for the example and the testimony for us to see. All believing, all his house. They were saved. And the Philippian jailer was saved from suicide. He was saved from self-destruction. And then he was saved from the power of sin and the wrath of God on his life when he got born again. And he believed in Christ with all his house. And then lastly, I want to point this out, the joyful fellowship that they had as we just read those verses. Rejoicing in verse 34 and rejoice believing in God. Boy, I'm praying that that'll happen. I hope you'll pray with me that we'll be able to see someone saved in the near future. One of these parents of these children that came tonight, or someone that we can have a time where we're sitting around the table in their house or our house, and maybe you got to see someone saved. I won't say any names. Maybe a young man that was here tonight, sixth grade, maybe his dad gets saved in the near future. His mom. We're able to have a Bible study with them and talk to them about the Lord, and have a time of rejoicing. And what a blessing when people are saved and they want to learn more of the Word of God, and they want to feed on what and can you see this Philippian jailer saying, so tell me more. So what do we need to know? And what do I do next? And I've been saved and we just got baptized. And what should we do? And Paul and Silas are probably saying, all right, we gotta go tomorrow. We gotta leave town. Did you know there's a book called Philippians? There's a book called Philippians. I don't know. I didn't research the history on it. I don't know if there's enough to tell us, but don't you think jailer was charter member or one of the members? Maybe even the leader? This is the beginning of something special in Philippi. And the book of Philippians. And you know what that book's all about? You know what the book of Philippians is about? Joy. Joy. You read that book and it's all about the joy of the Lord. And this started with the most unlikely way of having joy. I think most of us, we'd be so mad because we got beat. We'd be so mad that someone would treat us like that. We know that their motive was nothing but money, and all we did was help this girl out, and it turned against us, and now here we are, and we're thrown into this prison, and my back is bleeding, and I'm all beat up, and I feel rotten, and I want my lawyer. I want that Christian lawyer, you know, I'm going to call CLA or somebody. I've got my rights. But besides, I'm Roman, and you shouldn't have beat me. And then blah blah blah. And all this is going on. And sure, that's all that, you know. But maybe the bigger picture is we just need to pray and sing. We just need to praise the Lord and be a testimony and rejoice in what God's got a reason. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, and then we'll be done. Romans chapter 5. Verse 3. We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. We need to learn to glory all the time. Appreciate that what Jeff said tonight in prayer. I don't remember. I didn't memorize what he prayed. But God, I've just been excited all day today just realizing how much I have. How much I've already been given. You guys get encouraged like I did listening to that tonight? That was a blessing. I mean, it's the devil that wants us to be down the dumps because we don't feel good. I don't feel good in my body right now, but that doesn't mean I don't feel good on the inside. My body don't feel good, but I'm inside my body. You notice the song says, it is well with my... It doesn't say it is well with my body, does it? Well with my soul. So many people think that happiness is when it's well with your body, and that's why they drink, and that's why they do drugs, and because it's the temporary feeling that their body gets. But that's not where it's at. And if you're a carnal Christian, that's what you focus on, feeling good in your body. Well, I want to go where I feel good. I want to do what feels good. That's your body talking. Listen, is well with my soul is I'm in stocks, my feet are in stocks, I'm in a dungeon, and I'm singing. Man, that's well with your soul, not your body. That's well with your soul. That's what people have to see. That's what the jailers and the prisoners in our life have to see. The Philippians in our life have got to see that. They've got to realize, man, these people just keep on ticking. I hate to use this because I don't want to make a big deal about a cartoon. But a while back, I don't mean yesterday, I mean years ago, I sat down and watched The Grinch Stole Christmas. I'm sorry, I'm really degrading this whole thing tonight. Anybody else watch The Grinch Stole Christmas? Okay. Well, what happened? The Grinch, who isn't real, came down and stole Christmas and, you know, and stole all the presents and the tree and all the decorations and stole everything out of Whoville. And little, what's her name? Cindy Lou. And little Cindy Lou. I mean, she... And Grinch took everything. And he went back up and he said, now they won't be happy. Now they won't. They won't smile now. And the message in that stupid story is actually something we Christians should have. The devil's the Grinch. And he tries to steal your joy, and he takes away all the external things, but does that change it? It shouldn't. It shouldn't change it. He looked down in the valley, and they're all gathered around singing. And he's all upset because he thought he stole it. He didn't. There's a real truth there. I'm sorry. I don't think Grinch is very deep theology, but it paints a picture in your mind. And I think that's what happened. I think the prisoners and the jailer are like, I don't get it. They got something I don't have, obviously. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what God wants? We gotta let God have his way in our life. And sometimes it's about us not having our rights so that he can have his way. And that's the message tonight.